1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the word of the living God. As we have done so in the past, we've looked at what the Heidelberg Catechism says as it explains phrase by phrase the words of the Apostles' Creed, and I'd like to look at question 56 and its answer this morning as we look at the subject, the forgiveness of sins. What is the forgiveness of sins? And the answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. When we come to the phrase, the forgiveness of sins, in the Apostles' Creed, we come to the great truth that God has established from before the foundation of the earth, that he would have a forgiven people in and through Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'd like to look with you at the subject of the forgiveness of sins and remind you that, first of all, forgiveness of sins proceeds from the work of the cross. And secondly, we'll look at the necessity of experiencing the forgiveness of sins, and then where it flourishes within the fellowship of the saints. But to begin with, the forgiveness of sins proceeds from the cross. It's the very basis, the very foundation of our salvation. It's the truth that God sent his Son into this world to be the Savior of sinners, and he sent him to the cross. Remember, the whole message of the entire New Testament was Jesus going to the cross. He predicted it. He told his disciples about it. It's all throughout the New Testament. That's why he came. He came to go to the cross so that he might pay the price for our sins, to pay the price of eternal death, of spiritual death, separation from the Father. He paid it all. And that's the message of the New Testament in brief. Jesus died upon the cross. Now, when it says that God forgives us our sins, as our text tells us, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, that does not mean in any way that God forgets that we are sinners. That would be quite impossible. He does not remember our sins against us, is what the text says. He does not reckon them against us. He does not behold us any longer as mere sinners, but as redeemed sinners. Sinners that have been perfectly justified, perfectly made whole. Our sins have been blotted out and have been fully satisfied once and forever by the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Yes, God at one time formerly condemned us, but he condemns us no longer. The change is not in God, the change is in us. When through faith, God translates us from the state of condemnation to the state of being forgiven. We are forgiven sinners. And God, with that forgiveness, holds his people before him as those who are in Christ, given to Christ from before the very foundation of the world. And so the moment a sinner trusts in Jesus Christ, from that moment, as far as God is concerned, that person is no longer a sinner. He's acceptable before the very throne of God, just as Jesus is. We cannot, the scripture says, we cannot come into condemnation. God has pardoned us, our whole sinful nature. Therefore, all of our sins are forgiven. And though we are imperfect, when we sin, as our text tells us, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and cleanse us from all of our sins. That forgiveness is without limit. That forgiveness is complete because Jesus died upon the cross for all of our sins. That needs to be underscored. It's absolute. For our guilt, Jesus died. He died so that the totality of our guilt would be removed, the totality of our sins would be paid for, and on that ground of his perfect work upon the cross, his everlasting righteousness comes to us, and we belong to him, because when we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. That's why John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he uses that word to confess, it's the word that means that we agree with God that his evaluation of our behavior is true, and his evaluation of sin is true. And interestingly, this word appears here, and it appears to teach us so that we might be reminded that God forgives us of all that we have come to confess. The basis of forgiveness is not the confession itself, but the fact that that confession is grounded in the very character of the promise-keeping God to whom our confession is made. And that's why John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. We confess that we are sinners. We continue to sin. The Heidelberg Catechism reminded us of that in the answer to the question. It reminded us that we have a corrupt nature. Sin is still with us. But when we sin, we come to God and confess that sin, and we discover not only are all of our sins forgiven, but our corrupt nature is forgiven, our weakness is forgiven, our impotence is forgiven, the loss of our joy and our fellowship with God is restored and renewed. And the answer to that is because God is faithful. He is faithful. John writes that in this passage to remind us of who God is and how God in his faithfulness will always keep his word. And what does God do when we come to him with the confession of our sins? He goes back to that objective work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. The Son of God came into this world, and he was bound by an everlasting covenant of redemption to give his life as a ransom for sinners, for the elect of God. And from before the foundation of the world, the Son agreed that he would pay the price in human flesh. And the Father agreed that there would be a creation and a cross that would be planted, and he would uphold the Son in that redemption. And all of that was accomplished when Jesus came and he died on the cross. And since Jesus did all that, Scripture says that God is faithful to what Jesus did. And God will be faithful in his nature, which is a nature of mercy and grace. And he will always faithfully forgive his people for the sake of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Now, John says that he is also just. He is faithful, but he is also just. And by that, he means that God is the one who will not put anyone in double jeopardy. He is just because the price of our sin has been paid. And having been paid for, he doesn't hold the guilt of our sins against us anymore. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you may confess your sins because Jesus was at the cross in our place, and the Father is faithful to what Jesus did. So no matter how terrible your sin may be, he is always faithful. He will never go back on his word, no matter how badly you may have gone back on your vows or your commitments. And we do. God is just and faithful. He will never damn or destroy us for our sins. Why? Simply because, as the hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all. It is precisely the faithfulness and the justice of God that is the great encouragement that we have to come and to honestly confess our sins to the Lord. We don't have to be afraid. He already knows us. He is faithful. He will not hold our sins against us. And when sin comes along in our life, we can believe in God who is faithful and just, and he will do what he does in Jesus Christ, forgive us for our sins because Christ has paid for them upon the cross of Calvary. If you've come to Jesus, the blood of Christ has cleansed you, and you will never, ever, ever be guilty of your sins again. The sins of the people of God are paid for by the work of Christ upon the cross. And that forgiveness then must be experienced by us in our lives. Notice that John says you must confess your sin. He says that, of course, in the context of this first chapter of 1 John, where he speaks of the communion of the saints. And he says we can't say that we haven't sinned. No, we do sin. And if you say you no longer have sins, he says you deceive yourself. The one who lies claims to have fellowship with God, but sin would make clear that that person is a liar. He lies, and pretty soon he believes his own lies. That's so popular today, isn't it? We believe our own lies. We believe that what we are doing is all right as long as we're good with it, but we're not worried about what God is thinking about it. But the scripture says, don't deny the reality of sin. It says, confess it. Don't presume. That's self-deception. Confess it. Spurgeon once said, only on the footing of sin daily confessed and pardoned can there be fellowship with God. That's why the writer says we are to confess our sins, and we are to confess them to a God who is faithful and who will forgive us of our sins, because when we experience that forgiveness, our fellowship with God is renewed and restored, and we are able to walk with him in the joy of that great love that he has for us. We confess it to the Lord who is faithful, and we confess it to the Lord who is just. And we do that in the communion of the saints. Notice that in 1 John, John is writing about the fellowship of the communion of the saints. If we walk in the light, he says, we have fellowship one with another. We need to be reminded that in the fellowship of God's people, that we are to walk in the light by understanding the scripture, by applying the scripture. And when we have sin in our lives, we need to confess it not only to God, but we also need to confess to one another. If we have sinned against one another, that's what John speaks of in 1 John chapter 1. We need to remember the forgiveness of God, and we need to experience that forgiveness in our own lives, and we need to experience it in the communion of the saints. That forgiveness comes to us through God's marvelous grace. And I want to remind you of that grace, the grace that sent his son into this world to be the savior of sinners. And when he died on the cross, he paid for the sins of all of his people. There's no limitation to what Jesus can forgive. When you've trusted Jesus Christ as your savior, you've trusted him to apply to you for time and for eternity the fullness of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is willing and able, and it's his idea to save you and to save me. And if that's the case, there's no reason on earth that you right now cannot confess your sin. It's foul, it's filthy, but there is forgiveness with the Lord. And that forgiveness is guaranteed. He is willing and he is able, and he will wash that sin away. He will cleanse us from that sin. If we cherish and harbor sin in our heart and in our lives, then there is evidence of an incomplete repentance. And if there isn't really repentance in our heart, then the question is open to whether or not you've really trusted Jesus Christ as Lord. We are to confess our sin. We are to confess our trespasses against one another. We are to come into that place of acknowledging that we belong to God, body and soul, in life and in death, through Jesus Christ the Lord. And the forgiveness of sin comes to us through his great gospel and through his gospel alone. If you want forgiveness to flourish, then you will have to live in the light of God's word. That's what John is speaking about as a whole in chapter 1 of his letter. He is speaking about living with your brother and sister in Christ. He is speaking about living within the context of the church, where the elders of the church administer discipline when it's needed. Why? To bring the person who sins to place his heart before the Lord and ask for forgiveness so that he may flourish and that he may grow and that he might live in the light of God's word. When we say we believe in the confession of our in our confession that we believe in the forgiveness of sins, we are talking about the growth and the glory of the gospel in our lives, in the church, and in the lives of all of God's people. The growth and the blessing comes because Christ came. He died upon the cross, and we've experienced that forgiveness, and we will continue to experience that forgiveness because God is always there, faithful, just, forgiving us of sin, and will continue to do so until the moment he brings us into his glorious presence. When you say in the Apostles' Creed you believe in the forgiveness of sin, be reminded of the glorious gospel truth that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die that we might live forever. To him be the glory. Amen.